Merci beaucoup. Thank you, Professor Schwab, for that kind introduction. I also want to thank you particularly for the invitation to speak here that you extended to me earlier this year. But more than that, Professor, you have made the World Economic Forum an indispensable part of the global conversation among leaders in politics, business, and civil society. And in the face of continuing global economic instability, the opportunity that this gathering provides is now more valuable than ever. So I know everyone here joins me in thanking you for, in the service really of the common good, your leadership and your vision. My greetings to Ambassador Santi, to the Governor of the Bank of Canada, known internationally as Chair of the Financial Stability Board, Mark Carney, to our hardworking Minister of International Trade, Ed Fast, and to the best finance minister on the planet, Jim Flaherty. That's an official title, he tells me. And let me just say that I'm especially proud to see so many outstanding Canadian business leaders making their presence felt here in Davos. Ladies and gentlemen, I will use my time today to highlight Canada's economic strengths and to frame the choices we face as we work to secure long-term prosperity for our citizens. In a difficult global environment, and I should say, and instability that in a difficult global environment is likely to remain with us. Comme vous le savez, le Canada a connu une performance économique supérieure à la plupart des pays développés au cours de ces dernières années difficiles pour l'économie mondiale. Forbes magazine ranks Canada as the best place on the planet for businesses to grow and create jobs. The OECD and the IMF predict our economy will again be among the leaders of the industrialized world over the next 2 years. And one more cherished accolade, of course, is that for the fourth year in a row, this body, the World Economic Forum, says our banks are the soundest in the world. These evaluations are the result of sound fundamentals. Among G7 countries, Canada has the lowest overall tax rate on new business investment. Our net debt-to-GDP ratio remains the lowest in the G7 and by far. And while we remain concerned about the number of Canadians who are still out of work, Canada is one of only two G7 countries to have recouped all of the jobs lost during the global recession. Indeed, more Canadians are now working than before the downturn. How was this achieved? Confronté à la pire crise économique mondiale depuis des années 30, notre gouvernement a mis en œuvre des mesures de stimulation économique parmi les plus importantes et les plus ciblées du G20. We made historic investments in infrastructure. We encouraged businesses to invest and help them avoid layoffs. We put substantial funding into skills training. And we extended support for workers who lost their jobs. These things we did on a timely, targeted, and temporary basis. We did not create permanent new programs or government bureaucracy. As a consequence, our deficit is now falling, our debt-GDP ratio has already peaked, and we do not need to raise taxes going forward. I should add, we also did not reduce immigration or give in to protectionism. Instead, we've maintained the high levels of immigration that our aging labor force of the future will require. We have continued as well to pursue new trade agreements, and we have taken action to make Canada among G20 countries the first tariff-free zone for manufacturers. Nous avons mis en place ces politiques car notre priorité numéro un en tant que gouvernement est la prospérité, c'est-à-dire la croissance économique et la création d'emplois. We have pursued these policies, ladies and gentlemen, once again, because our number one priority as a government is prosperity, that is, economic growth and job creation. Now, that may sound obvious, almost cliched, but is it really? As I look around the world, as I look particularly at developed countries, I worry, I wonder, and I ask whether the creation of economic growth and therefore jobs really is the number one policy priority everywhere.
Or is it the case that in the developed world, too many of us have in fact become complacent about our prosperity, taking our wealth as a given, assuming it is somehow the natural order of things, leaving us instead to focus primarily on our services and entitlements? Is it a coincidence that as the veil falls on the financial crisis, it reveals beneath it not just too much bank debt, but too much sovereign debt, too much general willingness to have standards and benefits beyond our ability or even our willingness to pay for them? Now, I don't know, but what I do know is this. Premièrement, que la richesse des économies occidentales
n'entend
rien plus inévitable que la pauvreté des économies émergentes. First, that the wealth of Western economies is no more inevitable than the poverty of emerging ones. And that the wealth we enjoy today has been based on and only on good growth-oriented policies, the right often tough choices, and the hard work done in the past. And second, that regardless of what direction other Western nations may choose, under our government, Canada will make the transformations necessary to sustain economic growth, job creation, and prosperity now and for the next generation.